Anointing, and that is what it is all about at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Welcome to Living the Good Life. Oh, it's so good to be here. I love being in front of this mic with the earphones on. Pastor Marcia McAllister here to my right, Connie Farmer, Director of Counseling and everything else that she does around Beacon of Hope. And Nan's going to join us for a couple minutes here because Carol's coming on at 4:30. So, Nan, did we have a day at Beacon of Hope today or not?
We had a day.
I mean, when we say that, I think our listeners just think we always think that, but we do.
We do.
Why, Con?
We think that and we do.
We think that.
It's the truth.
I mean, what is so incredible that we say that and make that assertion?
Well, every service, God shows up.
Mm-hmm. Every service, God shows up. Every single one. We don't ever have a dud.
And every service
we
is
don't
different
know about
from
duds.
Every other service.
Right.
It just keeps getting better and better.
It just keeps getting bigger and better. Mm-hmm. And we just never know what God's going to do. And, woo, praise God. What do you think there, Nan?
Well, it was a great service. You know, I mean, if you wanted to receive, you received. It's, you know, if you were there to receive, you received. I mean, period.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I know, like myself, I mean, I didn't really say anything to you. I was kind of like having problems getting up, going this morning and weird, whatever, you know. And it's like, I was just really blessed and ministered to and while we gathered together and praise the Lord.
I know. Amazing. Yeah,
Connie. It's like going to a college class.
Right.
You get out of it what you put into it.
Ooh.
And what
ooh.
You expect. So, you know,
very
if you
good.
Go there expecting to receive, ooh,
right.
Watch out.
Look out. Yeah, you know, it was one of those days. The devil attacked me in the night. I woke up coughing really bad several times. And, you know, immediately I know the kind of day I'm going to have on Sunday, which is preaching my lungs out, fortunately, with a mic, and singing. And then we had nursing home ministry today, and then now the radio. And what do y'all think about what God is doing in the nursing home ministry? I mean,
I love it.
Whoa. I mean, is it just wild or what? We're at Palm Garden the first Sunday of every month. That is Clearwater, right at the corner of Curlew and McMullen Booth, and it is a ministry to the residents there, and it is so cool.
It is cool. It's like that's part of our church,
right.
And you know we get used to the regulars who are there every month, and they get all excited to be there. And then we have visitors sometimes. It's kind of like church at Beacon on Elmerton Road. You know?
It is, and we're getting ready to go and do some Christmas caroling with those people.
They just love us there, and it's nice. You know, I mean.
It's just another ministry.
And they're just so thankful that we're there. And, you know, I wish we could do it every Sunday. But
time doesn't permit it, but it takes a lot. But you know what? You were the guest speaker today, Connie, and you did a great job. We're very proud of you.
Oh, you did fantastic,
Connie.
You did
a fantastic
job.
And so it's another one of the benefits of going there because it gives our people more experience since. You know how reluctant I am to put other people in my pulpit.
Since when?
You know how that goes. But praise God, because we've been in this series, Being Blessed Beyond, and I thought we were concluding it last Sunday, and then I found out this week from God that we weren't. And so I think we concluded it this week, but all bets are off. I'm just not even going to...
We don't bet anymore on those.
We don't know how that's going to go. That's totally in God's hands. But Being Blessed Beyond, and, you know, God was ministering to so many, Connie, on the blue line of dedication today about what he had for them for the future, you know, and about going out and reaching out to those that need a touch from God. We had such a wonderful praise report from one of our members, Michelle, today about how she had gone out yesterday and not intentionally went to do this, but the door opened. She ended up ministering to somebody and praying with her and hugging her and all that stuff. That God just, that's the kind of stuff God's doing, isn't he, Nan?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, I mean, thinking about Michelle, I know that one of the things, she, last week she was really blessed at the Blue Line at church.
Right.
And I recall her praying, just asking God,
that's
I want
right.
to do what you want me to do.
You're right.
What
that
do you want
did
me to
happen.
Do? And she was asking God, what do you want me to do?
Right.
And then within a week, he's opened up such a wonderful opportunity for her to be able to minister for him. She asked, he did.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that is huge, and that is what God does. When we come to him and we willingly say, I want to be used of you. I want you to show me where you can use me tomorrow or today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Connie?
Just being open and willing, a willing vessel.
Yes.
You know, even if it's so much as a lot of times on my way to work, I'll just say, okay, God, this is your day
right.
or night, whatever. And
yeah, you work nights, so,
you know,
yeah.
Just put the people in front of me that I need to see. And,
exactly.
And the ones I need to talk to.
Exactly. And he does that in such a glorious, wonderful way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in ways we least expect, God opens doors and we find ourselves ministering to different ones. And it just happens so much. I mean, it's just amazing. And when we're open to what God is doing in our lives, you know, I was sitting praying on Friday afternoon, I think it was Friday, and all of a sudden a person, a friend of mine in Indiana who may be listening right now, I just saw her face come before me, and I knew I was to call her, and she answered the phone. A lot of times she's very busy. She answered the phone, ended up giving her a word from the Lord, ended up praying over. I mean, God just opened doors right there, and it's a matter of being willing to hear his voice.
Well, no, I, reflecting on, you talking about praying with people, you know, I kind of went through a thing of, God, what do you want me to do? How?
Right.
What? And he started opening up, you know, doors of opportunity in my office, like, you couldn't believe. I mean, I've prayed with at least two people in my office,
yeah.
And one, my boss walked in, looked embarrassed, and later apologized to me for walking in the closed door of my office as
right.
he found me sitting there, standing there praying with one of the ladies, you know, and he apologized to me. I mean, that was kind of a
that's
trip,
pretty good.
You know?
you minister in the parking lot.
And we prayed
everywhere.
In the parking
yeah.
lot. But God, that's an example. God will make a way.
He will
open the doors if you want to be used of him. He will open the doors, period.
And this will just give you so much blessing in your life.
Oh,
being
man.
Blessed beyond. Woo! Connie, wow. You know, you're the music director of the show, and you and I talk during the week, and we just have a general idea of where we're going, but we really don't plan any songs until you sit down with the Lord and you allow the Lord to show you what needs to be on that show, this show.
This show, you told me one word.
Well,
Jesus.
Jesus, that's the word I told I told you Jesus, and here's the first song, You Are Love. Darlene something, I can't pronounce
Check.
Her name. Check.
Here in this place of worship, you draw me close again. All of my weakness is laid here. You cover them all in your strength. Here in your holy presence, my heart draws close to you. This altar is built out of broken, and you come and breathe it on you. For you are love, love.
God, great song, Connie. I've never heard that. You are love. Jesus, you are love. That's the essence of God Almighty. God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. That's what it's all about. We are living the good life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in maybe the last week of this series. I've been teaching now for 9 weeks, being blessed beyond. And it's based on Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you could ask or think. To him be the glory now and in the church forevermore. Praise God. It's being blessed beyond. Connie, jump in here. Carol's going to join us in a little while. But I want you to jump in here, Connie, as we begin to teach this whole story of Jacob and Joseph. And we're at the point of Genesis 46. Those of you out there that have your Bible and you want to join us, we're at the point where Jacob down in Canaan, where the famine has absolutely taken over their lives and they can no longer sustain themselves in Canaan. And Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers that he is their brother. And so when he did that, that's back in Genesis 45, when Joseph did that and the brothers were finally face to face with the fact that they had sold their brother Joseph into slavery. However, here's the big however, Connie, I love this. However, God had a plan down through the ages that he was going to bring his son, Jesus, the Messiah, through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then one of Jacob's sons. That line would have to continue through. And it's so fascinating to me in this whole series that we've been doing. And those of you out there that have missed some of these shows, you can go to our website, Beacon of Hope Ministries. It ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com. Catch the radio shows that you've missed on this series of being blessed beyond. Because it's all about the life of Jacob and Joseph. And Jacob was the one who received the birthright, even though he wasn't supposed to. He was not the firstborn of the twins. Esau, his brother, was. But the birthright was for Jacob. The line was coming through Jacob because of Jacob's heart, that he had a heart after God, totally heart after God. So we see, and now we're in Genesis 46, down about verse 27, and we see that the family is coming to Egypt to live because the land of Canaan has been ravaged by famine. And so Joseph is sent for his family. And what's so cool to me is that God took care of Joseph, even though he was sold into slavery. He was sold and he was bought by one of the highest ranking officials in the land of Egypt. And so he became the house man, so to speak, of Potiphar. And some of you remember all that. And he ends up in prison because of a false accusation against him. And then he eventually comes out of prison. But during while he was time in prison, he was the head of the prison, you know. He was in charge there. So every place he went, he was blessed, being blessed beyond. He had favor. And that is what we got to get down on the inside of us, listening audience, that every place we go, we are walking in favor. David said in Psalm 5:12 that God surrounds me with favor like a shield all the way around me. That is what God does. So now we come to this place of Genesis 46, and we see that Jacob and the rest of the family are being, they're going to be taken to Egypt so that they can survive the famine. In fact, Pharaoh sends wagons. He sends all kinds of transportation for the whole family to come to Egypt and to live. And they are absolutely blessed beyond anything they can imagine, because when they get there, then there is this huge reunion between Jacob and Joseph, his son, that he thought was dead. And Joseph had been gone from Jacob 22 years at this point, which is totally amazing. And so we see that Jacob sends, and now we're in verse 28 of Genesis 46. He sends his fourth son, no coincidence here. His name is Judah. He sends Judah on ahead to get everything ready for their arrival in Egypt. And Judah means praise. And Judah is the tribe through which God was going to send his son Jesus through. That was prophesied that he was coming through the line of Judah. And Judah was son number four. And four in the word always means evangelism and worldwide outreach, which is what we see in this whole last section of Genesis, that God is reaching out to all mankind, and he chooses to do it through a promise made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And then Jacob's son, Judah, is the one that will carry this line on. And Jesus, the Messiah, will come through the line of Judah. I don't know about you, Connie, but to me, it's so amazing how God just fulfills his word like this. Don't you think?
What's amazing is that as you read through here, you know that God has already had everything lined up.
Yes.
All the way through.
Had the plan.
All the way through to the end of
yes.
creation.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that fascinating? You know, we get hung up with what's the plan for today, God, and God had the plan for eternity from the very beginning.
I know I quote Casting Crowns and Mark Hall a lot, but he told the story. There's one song on this new album, but he told the story about when he was a child and how at Thanksgiving time, you know, it's the time for the Christmas parade.
Right.
And the last
That's
quote
true.
Is always Santa.
Yeah.
And what does Santa have? Candy canes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the kids go to the parade to see Santa and get candy, right?
Right.
So he said, he was funny because he said, you know, at some point, they get their place lined up, well, then everybody else fills in and all these adults are there. The adults aren't there to see the parade.
Right.
It's for the kids.
Sure.
You know, but here he is. He said, here he is standing in between a couple elbows trying
right.
to see the parade. And all he can see is exactly what's right straight in front of him.
Right.
And he said, he turned around and saw, at the time, the biggest building in town, which was five stories,
right.
his dad's office building, and that he could go up on top
right.
of the roof.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then he could see the whole parade.
Right.
But, and then he could see that uh-huh. Santa was coming, and he could see the candle,
right.
the candy canes. But what he was saying is that God is on top of the roof.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that has the whole picture.
Right. He's got the whole picture.
He's the one that holds everything in his hands mm-hmm. and controls it all.
Mm, that's good stuff. And he had the plan from the beginning. And all it took was willing vessels.
Mm-hmm.
If Abraham would have said, nah, you know what? I'm not leaving my homeland, which was Haran. I'm not leaving there. I'm not setting out for a place. I don't know where I'm going. God would have picked somebody else. I mean, mm-hmm. he always has other plans, you know. But when we submit to God's perfect plan for our lives, no matter what that is, it could mean a job change. It could mean whatever, a relationship change. It could mean, you know, whatever. I don't know. But whatever that plan is that God has for us, or a change in ministry, when we submit to God's ultimate plan, it's amazing how well it all comes together.
Well, it does. I mean, you know, you just trust him to know what's right. And so many times now, I just tell him, okay, this is your day, or this is your meeting I'm
yes.
going into.
Right.
Or this is, you know, whatever. And just do what you need to do. I trust you with
yes.
my life.
Yes.
And because I know that you know the whole picture.
Right.
I don't know the whole picture. I know.
Right. That's a real good metaphor that you gave there about Mark Hall. Because as a little boy, I can picture that. Standing mm-hmm. between a couple adults trying to see. And all you can see is right there what's in front of you. And so often that's where we are. And we don't see what God is trying to do in our lives in the big scope of the whole mm-hmm. thing. We just get hung up on the minutia. I like that word.
Mm-hmm.
The minutia of that's the little tiny details, Bill. Mm-hmm. The little tiny details of our lives, we can only see that far. And so we just get so hung up on, okay, well, that is not pleasant, or that is not fun. And if Joseph would have been hung up on the minutia of being sold into slavery and not seeing God's ultimate plan, but over and over in these latter chapters of Genesis, when the brothers are saying, man, we are sorry we sold into slavery, Joseph says point blank, that was God. I'm not mad at you. I want you to know God used that situation that happened, and it was for my good and for the deliverance of our whole nation. Amazing stuff there, Con.
So many times we're willing to let God lead, but we get impatient because all we can see is what's there for the moment.
Right.
We can't see the whole picture, and we can't, you know, we just can't see how this is going to work out.
Right.
How he's going to make
we so try to figure it out.
This. Yeah. And it's and you know, we spend so much time worrying about all that instead of just letting go.
You know, God chastised me on that very thing. I have a little notebook that I write words that God says to me. And recently he said to me, you know, one of your biggest problems is you try to figure out how I'm going to do something. And I thought, no, I don't. And I thought, yeah, I do.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's almost like he wants to just do something different just because if we get, you know how when somebody guesses something, you don't want to admit that they guessed it right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's almost like he just wants to just, no, let's do it this
way. Yeah,
I think we'll do it this way this time.
He loves to change the program on us, you know, and to say, you know what? Let me just take you out of that little four walls of the box of your thinking where you think that God is right here in this little box and it has to always be this way. And in the story of Joseph and Jacob, we see God really taking them out of a box because they could have, in an ideal situation, just stayed right there in Canaan, everything be fine, no problems. But as the brothers became jealous, because our emotions so often causes us to go to have our circumstances change, you know, but because of that jealousy and that hatred they had for Joseph and the way they ultimately sold him into slavery, God said, you know what, I can use that. You know, and so often we think that God can't use the mistakes that we make, or God can't use us when we are.
Well, and you can also look at it from the perspective of Joseph. He was sold into slavery. He was tricked by Potiphar's wife and put in jail. And then he became the head of the jail people.
Right. Yeah.
Then he was telling dreams, and he got to the Pharaoh and interpreted a dream. And so that to me is a lesson in restoration, how God will, some things happen to us that we have no control over. And yet, instead of having a pity party, sitting around having a pity party about poor me and all this is being done to me, he, as long as you're faithful to him, you're faithful to him and do what you know he wants you to do.
Right.
Then he restored you.
Absolutely.
But look how he restored him. He was the second most important person in the entire
all of
country.
Egypt. I mean, you know, basically in charge, you know.
I mean, it's like
he had the ring of Pharaoh on his hand, in the seal
remember,
of the kingdom.
There was a story about this golfer, this famous golfer, who was invited to some place in some sultan in Saudi Arabia or something. And somehow they got to be very good friends, and he got invited there. And he was leaving to come home, and he said, you know, I want to do something for you. Can I do something for you? And he said, well, you know, a golf club would be nice. Well, you know, he's thinking a golf club, right?
Right.
So a few months go, or a month or so goes by, and he, you know, is back in at work and playing golf and doing this stuff. And he gets this thing in the mail, and it's a deed to an entire golf course, because that's what this person wanted to reward his friend with.
Wow!
And I see that. I mean,
that's
when God
a great
rewards
metaphor.
Us for being
yes.
diligent and being obedient, he doesn't just say "nice job, buddy."
Yeah,
he says "nice job."
Amen. It's amazing to me. I mean, what we're talking about here is God blessing us beyond our expectations.
Or what we could ever imagine.
What we could ever imagine. And so often we are limited by our own expectations and our own imaginations. Carol, are you on?
I'm on there.
Wow. Connie and I are having this debate going on here. It's not really a debate. We're on the same team and we agree. But isn't it amazing, Carol, that God wants to bless us so much more than we get down on the inside of us that he wants to do? I mean, we limit him. We limit him sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. We definitely do that. And it's because we're human and we cannot do what God does, which is to know what the future is, to know how certain circumstances must fall into place
right.
in order for other events to take place.
Right.
You know, we begin to think very much just like human beings and never realizing that God is always God.
Oh.
He is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday, and his promises do not come to us empty.
Absolutely. And don't you think that, and I'll direct this to both of you, but don't you think that here is Joseph not seeing his father and his brothers for 22 years, and then suddenly all these events start to happen. And Connie, that word suddenly, that's been your word forever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because God does.
Suddenly and somehow.
Suddenly and somehow he moves in ways that when we least expect it, it seems. But yet we've been believing God, let's say, for this to happen in our lives, this miracle. You know, I mean, all the times we believed God for the growth of Beacon of Hope, and now it's just like crazy happening mm-hmm. right before our eyes. And it's such a blessing what God is doing, and it's almost like a suddenly moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. And here, it's a suddenly moment that came how many years previous, you know, it was the concept. You know, you didn't have the concept of the church as the pastor by yourself.
No.
That seed of concept was put into you,
yeah.
your heart and your soul by God.
Absolutely.
And you heard his call to come to Florida.
Right. Exactly. And that's been 20 years now or more.
And Connie heard his call to go to the church.
Yes.
And eventually to really come in and serve the church. You know, those of us that have attended there and been a part of Beacon for such a long time, and I know that there's, you know, probably some question as to whether we're actually, Maxine and I, are functioning members of the church. But
yes, you are.
Every time we ask, you know, somebody says, "What is your church?" The first thing that comes out of our mouth is Beacon of Hope.
Yeah.
We might attend physically someplace up here, but our church is Beacon of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the word of God is spoken there. The promises of God are revealed to the truth that they really are.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I got to take you both back to Genesis 46 a minute. A point that God showed me this morning in my sermon that I think bears repeating here. In chapter 46, verse 30, when right after Joseph has seen his father Jacob for the first time in 22 years, and they are falling on each other's neck and crying and weeping, it says, for a long time. Israel, which is Jacob, said to Joseph, "I'm ready to die. I've looked into your face. You are indeed alive." And we know that Joseph is a type of Jesus. And Carol, I said this morning, and it is profound. And it's not from me. It's from the Holy Spirit. When we look into the face of Jesus, I mean, really see him for who he is, how much he loves us, how much he wants to bless us, how much he has a plan for our lives, how he wants the best things for us. Then we are ready to begin to die to ourselves more and more so that we can accomplish all that God says he wants to do in and through us. And to me, that is huge right here. It's a wonderful foreshadowing of that when Jesus said in John 12 that unless a seed dropped into the ground, unless it dies, it can't produce. You know, and that's what's happening here when Jacob looks into Joseph's eyes, looks into his face, Joseph being a type of Jesus, and he goes, "Now I'm ready to die. I've looked into your face. You are indeed alive." And when we see and we look into the face of Jesus and we realize he is indeed alive and he wants to do things in us that we have never, ever dreamed of. Woo, Carol, I'll give you the first chance on that, Connie.
We never, ever dreamed of.
Right.
We never felt worthy. We might not have even had the thought of a blessing that he has on the table for us.
Yes.
We've never even thought of that particular circumstance or issue.
Right.
But he knows it,
and
he brings us to the point of accepting it as the truth spoken by him to us.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Then it becomes a blessing that we can revel in and say, "Blessed is thy name."
Amen. And we begin to realize that he does know us, that our name is written on the back of his hand, that we are written on the, and we are in the palm of his hand. Connie, do you have a comment to all that after you finish your cough?
Well, you know, we can't help but be changed forever once we look into his face.
Yes, yes.
And see him for who he is and, mm-hmm. accept Him for what He's going to do for us and what He has done for us.
Yes. And so here's Jacob looking at Joseph, his son, and he says, wow, this is enough for me. I've seen your face.
Well, you know, Jacob's life was dramatically changed when they said that Joseph had died.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine. I had a very good friend who lost their daughter, and of course, I take care of kids every day, and some of them don't live, and I see the devastation on those parents' face.
Oh, it's horrible.
So you can't, I mean, I don't think you could ever even imagine that feeling.
Yes.
Of loss.
Right.
And then to have it restored.
Right.
I mean, you know, that once
Surprise.
Again, that's God.
Woo! And so here we are. We see Jacob and Joseph just reuniting and knowing that God's going to take care of Jacob and his entire family because He's brought them now into Egypt. Ooh, Carol, isn't this beautiful? What do you think about this? I love this part right here.
I think it's absolutely a way of understanding the impact of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back and read these stories in early scripture and early times.
Right.
Before Jesus actually was around to talk to us and teach us and preach to us
Yes.
in the ways that He has through the New Testament.
Right.
I think it's important that we realize that the history is being set for God's arrival.
Right.
Jesus to appear.
Amen.
For the Holy Spirit to appear. And for what we need to know to accept each of them in our lives in the way that they were ordained to be in our lives. Several years back, I wrote a piece of prose about you have to die to self.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me one day, just totally out of the blue. I know it was a message from God trying to tell me, get ready, Carol, because I've got something for you to do. And I heard the words, you must die to self to serve me.
Mm.
And I sat down and I said, I need more explanation. Explain this to me. And He did. We have to die to the natural world.
Amen. Amen.
We don't. Our desires are not in this natural world. Once we decide that we're going to offer our lives up to God, like Connie does every day, and like we do, but she's going to work and she's thinking, it's not my day. I'm not going to dilly-dally around and waste my time. She's saying, God, show me where I can be the best service to you today.
Amen. That is what it's all about.
And so Connie
yes.
is dying to Connie in
mm-hmm.
those moments.
Yes.
She's not thinking about I'm hungry. She's not thinking about, oh, gosh, I forgot to comb my hair. Oh, gosh, is this the right shirt? She's thinking, God, show me where I can serve. So when we die to ourselves in that realm.
Right.
And we do become an extension of Him, and we live totally and completely for and with Him.
And we get to a place where we are living on the edge of expectancy. That's a poem, Nan. We're living on the edge of expectancy, okay? Where we just know that we are going to be blessed beyond anything that we can ever imagine. And for those of you that have been listening to this series for the last 8 or 9 weeks, when we live on the edge of expectancy, we are not living thinking, oh, this awful thing is going to happen to me. Oh, no, I feel a cold coming on. Yeah, sometimes that happens, you know, and they do come on and we start praying and believing God for our healing and take vitamin C and all that good stuff. But I mean, we're not living on the edge of expecting bad things. We're living on the edge expecting to be blessed. Connie, that's where our mindset has got to go now. That's what I feel like God is saying to the church. Go ahead.
It's like a mom getting ready to have a baby.
Right.
You know, during her pregnancy.
Yes.
She's, you know, preparing things and nesting and getting things ready, but the expectation of actually seeing that child and holding that baby.
Wow.
And I mean, sometimes it can be daunting, the whole concept, because all of a sudden you're going to have this human being that you're responsible for.
Exactly.
For the rest of your life.
That's a good point.
Because it's not just when they turn 18.
Right. No, it's for all.
It's for all time.
You know, that's a good example. My kids, Ryan and Lori, were 4 and 2 when I was pregnant with Mark. Those were the days where they didn't do the, you know, tell us what the sex of the baby was. And so I did not know what he was going to be, but he was due like the middle of January, you know. And it's interesting that you said that, because I decided to rent a carpet cleaner and clean all the carpet in my 4,000 square foot home myself day before Christmas Eve in that particular year of 1977. And as I did that, you know, I went into labor, you know, of course, and ended up having Mark on Christmas Eve. But the nesting thing, you know, expecting for this baby, not knowing whether it was a boy or girl, didn't really matter. But knowing that there was a new addition coming, and I wanted the carpets cleaned and all those things, and so I did it myself. But that's what you're saying, when we are living expecting that blessing. Carol, you have a comment about all that? And isn't he a wonderful blessing, my son Mark?
Oh, it is a wonderful blessing.
Yes.
All of your children are, and your grandchildren.
Yes, they are.
You know, you have truly been blessed, as many other parents and grandparents have. And I think it's because you value your children.
I do value them.
People who really enjoy their children really value them and see them as an outgrowth of what is continuing to go on in the world. God is calling his people home. He's providing his people. As parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, we set the stage for a child's upbringing.
Right.
We introduce the child, you know, teach the child God's ways, and they will be safe in his arms forever.
Right. Exactly. You
know, and I think it's an exciting thing that we can become his children so that we can learn from the God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and we can go out into the world and make disciples based on what he has taught each of us to do. We do it in different ways, but we hear his call on our lives, and we do what he asks us to do. Sometimes we have to be shown a little bit more than what we know, and we have to step out. And I know that there are many, many times that Connie has stood over children in the hospital where she's working and prayed that silent prayer for that child
who
she sees in jeopardy in some way, and for the family. Like she said, when you have to deal with parents who lose a child, it's not just the loss of the child. It's the loss of hopes and dreams and desires and wishes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what we see in our children. We see them as an extension of ourselves to go out into the world. When our shell breaks down and we have to leave our shell in the mortuary and our soul leaves, we expect to see those children that have come into our lives.
Absolutely.
Carry on
the
work of the Father that we have instilled in them in their youth.
And that's the same for our spiritual children, Carol. Good point. You know, when I look out over the years of ministry and see the number of people that have had their lives touched by the Word of God being implanted in them, it is truly a blessing. It's a huge blessing. I mean, this is what it's all about, being blessed beyond. To me, when I even think for a minute about getting down about something, the Lord reminds me of how the Word of God has come forth for over 30 years, what it's done in lives, Connie, and what a blessing that is to you and I, especially you and I in the counseling rooms. And Carol used to be in the counseling rooms with us, too. So it's such a huge blessing, isn't it?
Well, I was thinking as you were talking, sometimes you don't know what is getting through.
Exactly.
I mean, because obviously sometimes when you're on a Sunday morning, when you're trying to give your message and people are half dead, half asleep, you know, you have to wonder, you know, what am I doing this for? You know, at some point
I think that's has been there for me different times through the years, but I am at a different place now because I choose to believe that the people who gather and even those who listen on the radio want the truth of God's word, that something's going on the inside of them. They may not understand exactly what it is, but something is changing and they want that change. It's a good thing.
Well, even if they're sleeping, they're still hearing. You know, I mean,
there's quite a difference in sleeping in a tumultuous situation.
Yeah, that's true.
Than
yeah.
sleeping in peace. I mean, yeah. if a person is in church sleeping, I always kind of think they are resting in the arms of the shepherd, and they don't even realize they're being watched over.
Yeah. Sure.
They don't realize how comfortable they are and why. Because somewhere deep inside them, their spirit and their soul knows this is a safe place.
Yeah, good point.
And there's just some that are just not at a higher level. You know,
yeah.
they're just at that fire insurance stage. And they, you know, they're just keeping their head above water. But yet the words that you say are seeds. Words are seeds.
Words are seeds, yeah.
And
they get down on the inside
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, I learned that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Words are seeds, and they get inside of you, and they grow. And we may not see anything, but I'll tell you, the things that we read today in our little book were enlightening and hopeful for
yes.
the fact that your words, are getting in deep.
Talking about the
profound.
Book of Remembrance at Beacon of Hope, we started this a few months back, that anybody who wants to take the book for a week, it's a leather-bound book, and let the Lord, speak to you and then write in there. And one of the persons who took that book a couple weeks back, and wrote such profound words is a very quiet person at church.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the profound nature of those words, Carol, it was just amazing. I read it to the praise band in the office before service as we were praying. There wasn't hardly a dry eye in the room, I don't think, because there it was right before our eyes that even though this person's quiet, they were absorbing everything that God had for them. Woo! All right, listen.
You know, they're basically becoming a sponge for Christ.
And right. There you go. Yes.
You know, and words are seeds. And as a teacher, I used to laugh a lot of times with the smaller kids because they're just doggone funny.
Yeah.
And some of their ideas are so profound, and they're truly out of the mouths of babes.
Right.
It does come a lot of wisdom. But when you're trying to teach a small child, first grade, kindergarten, up to, you know, grade 6 or 7, the facts of mathematics, for instance,
right.
it doesn't have a concrete form in their brain.
Right.
But if
right.
you say to them, now, I'm going to put a record on, and it's the multiplication tables, and we're going to sing it.
Right.
They
yeah,
can
that
remember
makes a difference,
because
doesn't
the
it?
Words are the seeds that spur their knowledge
Amen.
And their remembrance. So when a person, as Connie had said earlier, is listening to and hearing the words that you are speaking in service, and the words that are being spoken in prayer and from other members of the congregation, those things will sink in where they need to go, and they'll find the right fertilizer, which is Scripture.
Yes.
And they will be able to grow from that a wonderful, beautiful soul that's dedicated to God.
Woo, I so agree. Listen to this song, A Strange Way to Save the World by For Him.
I'm sure he must have been surprised where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, why? Just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? An ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say.
Praise God. Woo! Strange way to save the world.
This is such a strange way.
Thank you, God, for the birth of your son, Jesus. Wow. So cool. You know, I think Joseph could have said when he was put in second in command in all of Egypt, God, this is a strange way to save your people. But yet he went with it, you know? And so often I think that we say, this is a strange way, God, for you to use me. How can you use me? You know, we've got internet up. If you'd like to comment on this or send a question, do it right now. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Connie's got it right in front of her, and we can take your question. We can take your comment. What a strange way, Carol. I mean, when we, in our mentality, we like to figure out how God's going to bless us. And so often we are so wrong.
Yeah, I'm reading from a little blurb by Max Lucado, and it's a little thing called Inspiration. It says, I am a giving God. I am neither cruel nor vindictive, as is common with man. Do not think of me as a human being with human failings. And I think sometimes, so often, we almost think of God as being Big Brother, hanging over our shoulder and looking at us and making criticisms and judging us in ways that we don't fit his little scheme. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the case at all. He says, I'm not going to lose you. I'm going to be with you forever and always. Trust me, because I'm not limited by your human feelings or your ideas or your thoughts. He's so much bigger than we are, and his thoughts are so different than ours, because he knows who we are inside and out, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what he is inside and out, and what we mean to him. As we continue to grow in our spiritual journeys, we have to keep asking ourselves, what am I today? Who am I today? How am I serving him today?
Exactly. And really expand our thinking, expand our expectancy. And when I said that a minute ago, Nan over here, our resident poet laureate, just typing away because God gave her a poem on that, Living on the Edge of Expectancy. Can you read it, Nan? You got it?
I got it.
Grab a mic there.
Grab a mic.
Okay.
You know, when pastor suggests something, we just go with it because it's the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Living on the edge of expectancy. Father, I give this day my face to you. Help me to see where you lead me. Father, even though I'm not the preacher, I still move forward in ministry. They said that I could face this day with expectancy, so here I am. I believe you will meet me here. You will provide me the boldness I need, so right now I call out to you in prayer. Let my hands be used to reach others who perhaps are having a tough day. Help me know just what I'm to share. Help me, for I'm reaching out in ministry. Let my feet lead me down the proper path. Your light will help me as I travel along. Help me to reach out to them where they need. Help me to reach out to those where they need. Even I feel tired, but you will make me strong. I will face this day with great expectancy. I am willing. I know that you will open the door. Father, thank you for leading me through this now. I know that you have so much more for me in store.
Woo, good stuff. Oh, Engineer Bill, he's got that, you know, applause button in there, Carol. Carol, that is what we're talking about, is it not? Isn't that what we're saying here?
Yes. You know, sometimes we have to remember to trust God. Even when we don't understand him, we have to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to seek and ask him for more. We should never be satisfied with a day that is a me day, or a day when we don't say to him, here I am, Lord, send me.
Exactly.
You know, and I tell you what, Maxine and I have lived our life with that expectancy.
Exactly.
Send me. You know, we have taken some journeys that are absolutely phenomenal. And I don't mean that we've seen the beautiful things of the world. We've met the world's beautiful people.
Yeah.
The simple people of God who physically have nothing, mm-hmm. or very little, but they have God in their heart and their soul, and they know that he will provide all of their needs, all of them. So Ooh. I know that, you know, it's an important thing for us to open our hearts up and say, here I am, send me.
Amen.
And sometimes we don't feel equipped, but he doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Amen, Carol. That's exactly right. Connie, do you have a comment on that?
Well, you know, so many times we try to put God into this frame of reference for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think too many times, even though human beings are supposed to be the smartest living being on earth,
right?
We're pretty stupid sometimes because
yeah.
we want to put God in a box and we want to keep him in a realm where we can figure out what he's going to do next,
right.
instead of just realizing that he is beyond measure,
mm-hmm.
beyond
yes.
anything that we could ever imagine. Remember one Wednesday night we were talking about something and how we think about God, and somebody, I think it was Holly or somebody, related it to how cats think.
It was Holly, yes. It was about cat brains, yes.
And, that,
and dog
know,
brains.
They just have,
right.
they have a realm that they function in, period.
Right,
and
yeah.
they can't get beyond that. And I think
she said they can't figure out our checking account or why we have to go to work and things like that. They just work in the realm up to their potential.
Right. And I think that, you know, we do the same thing, but it's not to God's potential.
Right.
And like I said, so many times we try to put God into a
mm-hmm.
manageable
mm-hmm.
type of something that we can think that he can do this, but there's so much outside of our little box that we keep him in.
You're right.
That, and I don't, you know, we sing our God is an awesome God.
Right.
But I don't know that we really truly
right.
mean it. We don't, I mean,
we need to expand our expectancy here. Living on this edge, we need to do that. We need to believe that we can be blessed beyond. That's been this mm-hmm. whole series. That's what God is trying to get us to understand, that he has so much more for us than we think he does, because we live under our own limitations.
Well, I mean, just look at Joseph.
Right.
And how he was blessed.
Yes.
Who would have ever thought that somebody who was, first of all, he was falsely accused, so he was restored, but he was in charge of all the prisoners.
Right.
Then he became the second in command of the entire country.
Right.
Okay. So God restored him.
Yes.
But who, I mean.
Wow.
In human life. Things happen. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Sorry.
Right, they do.
And they don't get, you know, vice president or whatever we want to call it here in our country. You know, they're not elevated to that level. They just live it.
Right.
They live with it.
Right.
Most of the time.
But God is challenging us to believe that we can be blessed beyond. Carol, what's your take on all that?
I think we need to be an army of one. One with God.
Ooh, ooh. Very good.
And when we become an army of one,
uh-huh.
and we link our hearts and our souls and our desire to know more and give more and learn more, arm in arm with him, we can accomplish great and marvelous things. One of the things that we constantly need to do, though, is to know that, you know, like in Philippians 4:19, when it says, "And my God
yes.
meet all your needs according to his riches
yes.
and glory."
Yes, yes.
And why do we separate ourselves as human beings from God's grace? Why do we say, "Well, that would never happen to me. That, you know, I'm not blessed that way. Oh, I could never attain a position like that because I just don't feel adequate."
Right.
Well, when you feel that way, that's when you have to link yourself with God and say, "I am adequate because you've made me that way."
Exactly.
I know that you have blessings for me. I accept them, and when they come, I pray I can recognize them.
Well,
and
I agree with you.
If a person
yes.
is injured, a bad injury of some type, or even a debilitating illness, when they are able to say, "God, help me."
Mm-hmm.
In just a few seconds or so, that help will come. All of a sudden, that pain is alleviated, or that thought gets out of your head when you think, "I'm not going to get through this." We can get through anything with Jesus Christ. And even if we pass this life, what is waiting for us? Eternity with him. So we are in a win-win situation with him.
Amen. But it's a matter of changing our perspective.
Him.
Right.
We're the ones that choose not to be accepting blessings. You know, he wants to give us everything that our heart desires within reason. I mean, I'm not going to rush out and ask him for a Jaguar, although I might like to drive a Jaguar one time. But I know that if I ask him for the means to go out and reach other people, and I say, "Lord, you know, I don't have a vehicle that's worthy. Could you provide something? I would love to do ministry out in the streets or with people," or what. Somehow, some way, you're going to end up with a little jitney bug of some kind that will be adequate for you to get to go do the job that he wants you to do.
Well,
you know, when we are asking for our needs to be met, we need to do two or three different things, like ask him for one thing. You know?
Uh-huh, exactly.
If you don't ask him, how can he give it to us? He stands ready to say, "I'm waiting to bless
exactly.
you, my child. Ask me for something." And then we got to be specific in what we ask for. If we want good health, we have to say, "Lord, give me good health. Teach me to make myself healthier. Put my mind in good ways that I can think healthy thoughts and everlasting thoughts of greatness and goodness for your people." And then we need to be specific and answer and anticipate an answer.
I agree with you.
If you ask God for a blessing, you being anybody in the listening audience, if you ask God for an answer to something, you ask him for a blessing or an answer, and you anticipate that is a negative coming toward you, why did you ask?
Right. But you're right. So often we limit God by our own feelings of unworthiness, and we don't expect God to move in our lives, so nothing happens.
You've got to be patient with him. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
He's not at our beck and call on a half-second notice.
Except
in
that
a
he
lot
is.
Of ways he is, and in a lot of ways he isn't. You know,
yeah.
sometimes I say to myself, "Now, Carol, don't ask for something that you should have asked for 2 weeks ago, and
yeah.
don't say, 'I need it right now, God, I need it right now.'"
Yeah, but you know, God still meets us there. He still does, which
and
is
he,
amazing.
You know, he will say, I see him putting his hand up at my face and saying, "Just a minute, Carol. I've had it under control since you first thought the thought 2 weeks ago."
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to accept your blessing.
Woo. Amen. We got to talk more about this in the next hour. It's time for Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We're glad you are joining us either live right now, because we are live every Sunday, 4 to 6, Tampa time, or maybe listening at a later date on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We are so excited about what God is doing in the ministry at Beacon of Hope. We are in our 11th year as a ministry, just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. That was pretty cool. And we're in our fifth year on the radio. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. We're in our second year at the nursing home. It's amazing the things that God is doing, you know?
Yep.
It's just wonderful. And Connie, you're an active participant all the time. So is Carol up there in Georgia, and Maxine and Nan and all of these others that are part of the ministry. And God is just meeting needs in people's lives and setting them free, is he not?
He is. it's amazing. I mean, you know, we just had this one person we were praying for from up north who, you know, they had just said, there's nothing more we can do for you.
Right.
For her, because she was out of it and on a ventilator.
Right.
And next thing we know, she's awake and talking.
Awake and talking, and yeah. Now in rehab as far mm-hmm. as occupational therapy and doing very well. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that God is doing in so many lives, setting us free of the things, even though it would appear on the outside that nothing's changing, but it is, you mm-hmm. know. It's just amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Carol, you are part of the prayer team that writes the prayers as the requests come in. Can you tell our listening audience how they can send prayers in, how that happens, and what happens?
They can go to their email or their computer and write prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And it goes into a couple of mailboxes for me. I'm notified by one of my personal emails when the prayer request comes in, and then I go straight to my Beacon of Hope Ministries page, and there is the prayer. And what I typically do is, for the person that has written the request for the prayer, whether it be for themselves or someone else, I remove all personal information except their name and their address and so forth. I don't put their address out for people to see. And that's a purposeful thing, because I think if anybody wants to make a comment, they can comment back through Beacon of Hope Ministries, which would send it straight to the person inquiring. But you write that request, and then I, in turn, write a prayer. I sit down before I write it. I sit down, and I have my scriptures in my hand, my Bible in my hand. I said, Lord, tell me what to say. Tell me what I need to ask for. Tell me what to pray for. And give me peace in this person or this family, peace about it. And I don't start write the prayer until he tells me what I'm supposed to be writing. And I've had two or three occasions. I find this very intriguing. Two or three occasions when I've started to write something for someone who is not a true believer, but someone is putting their name out that they would become a believer and a follower of Jesus, I have found that those prayers suddenly and immediately disappear off my computer.
Yeah, the devil doesn't want them getting the help.
So then I'm at first going, I can't believe that just happened. And right. At first I thought it was my ignorance with the computer, because I'm not the whiz Maxine is.
Yeah.
But then I began to realize, Lord, I've got to pray the devil out of this situation.
Right, exactly. Yes.
I've got to pray him out. I'm not going to honor him in any way with mm-hmm. any acknowledgement.
Right. And then look out, because those prayer requests come through, and then the answers, the prayer team responds. And if you want to be on that prayer team, write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You don't have to be a member of the church or anything like that to be a part of the prayer team. And we'll come back and talk more in a moment, Carol. Jesus, Friend of Sinners by Casting Crowns.
Jesus, Friend of Sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, Friend of Sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts by mercy, help us reach with open hearts.
What we're for, only what we're against. When we judge the wounded, what if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Oh Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Let's reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. There's a reason that you came.
Friend of sinners, that's what it's all about. He wants to bless us no matter what mistakes we have made. I mean, he really wants to teach us that we can be living in healing and wholeness. And Connie, we just saw the email right now from our dear Lloyd up in Newcastle, part of my congregation that I pastor in Indiana, Joan's brother. And Lloyd is asking us to pray for his eyes, and we're going to do it right now. He's got bleeding in his eyes today, and he cannot get to the doctor till tomorrow. And he has, I believe it's called, is it macular degeneration?
Yes.
Okay, so we just stand against that right now. Dear ones out there in Radio Land, agree with us in prayer right now for the absolute healing of our brother Lloyd's eyes this very moment. And we know that it is not God's will that he suffer like this. God does not have sickness. He does not have disease. That comes from the devil. And we can stand in agreement, and we can stand with the authority that God gives us in the name of Jesus and declare healing and God's healing provision in our lives. And we do that right now for Brother Lloyd. And Lord, we just ask that you reach down there in Indiana and touch our dear brother. Touch his eyes, cause the bleeding to stop, cause it to dry up. And Lord, we just ask you for a miracle here. You have told us that we can draw on your miracle working ability and power. And Lord, that you want to bless us beyond all that we could ask or think. And so Lord, we claim that for Brother Lloyd right this moment in Indiana. Lord, we ask that you reach down and by your mighty power, because you can do it, God, we believe you can, and we believe you want to, reach down and touch Brother Lloyd right now and heal his eyes, bleeding, dry up in the name of Jesus. Pain leave, discomfort leave. And Lord, we are thanking you and praising you that his eyesight is totally restored. Lord, you, when you walk this earth, you heal blind eyes. I've seen you heal blind eyes. And Lord, I speak this over our brother right now in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. And amen. Some of there might be others of you out there right now that have needs in your life and you want to send an email. Send it right now, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's coming up right here on the screen. This has been a tremendous day of anointing. Carol, God is healing. He's doing things. The altar was lined today with people receiving ministry. And God is wanting us to get from the mentality of just barely making it, just barely getting by, to a mentality that says, I can reach out and I can grab my healing. Just like Lloyd just did. Mm-hmm. I can reach out and I can ask for that because God wants to bless me beyond anything I could ask or think. Woo, Carol. Before we go to Carol, Connie, comment here on this. Can you comment? Woo.
Woo. Just, you know, if you're sitting at home or wherever you are and you just don't believe anything we're saying, all I'm telling you is try it. Just try it.
It works.
Just see. And you know, God knows, God sees that you're skeptical, and you don't think that he would just like help you out just to show you that, hey, I'm here and I can do this.
Right.
And I will do this for you because I want to do this for you.
Right.
Because you're my child and I love you and I want the best for you.
Woo, so for whoever that is for, that was a word from God right there. For whoever that is for, you need to grab a hold and receive your blessings right now, whatever they are. And if you want prayer of agreement specifically, write me, us, right now, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Carol, you got a comment about all of that?
Yes, I do. I would like to say this. God says, I am.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He never says, I might be, I could be. Perhaps I will be. Mm-hmm. Gee, I don't know. He says, I am.
Praise God.
And he said, you know, he tells us, I love you. I want only the best for you. And I have been delighted in so much recently with the prayers. 2 weeks ago, we had 44 prayers go out. And the responses that we heard from different individuals was that miracles were taking place.
Yes.
And, you know, people can say, well, you know, I don't believe in a miracle. Well, I do. I've watched them. I've seen them take place. I've seen them take place in the church setting itself. I've seen them take place in hospital beds. I personally have seen them take place in my own living rooms.
Right.
And God does not want us to walk in fear. He's not of fear.
Right.
And he doesn't want us to walk alone through this. He doesn't really want us to walk down a dark alley, not knowing what's on the side and seeing shadows that frighten us to death as we try to run to get away from whatever it is, the fear, the angst that's trying to follow us, being eaten alive by the gloom and doom of a dark world.
Right.
He wants us to walk in the light.
He wants
to show us the light. He wants to be the light at the end of the tunnel that you follow to safety.
He wants to bless us beyond anything we could ask or think. And
that's right.
I mean, Connie, you want to say something here?
He wants to say, look what I can do.
Look what I can do. Absolutely. In Genesis 47, we find that Pharaoh is approached by Joseph with his whole family. And Joseph says to Pharaoh, okay, they're all here now. The ones you told me to go get, well, they're all here. My father, Jacob, and he brings him in before Pharaoh. Five of his brothers, five is the number of grace. He brings them all before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh looks at Joseph in verse 5 of Genesis 47. And Pharaoh says, so your father and your brothers have arrived. A reunion. Egypt welcomes them. Settle your father and brothers on the worst land, the back 40, where nobody wants that. You know, that really bad wasteland, that desert back
did
there.
Did you bring the wrong Bible?
Did I bring the wrong Bible, Carol? Okay, Connie? I don't know. No.
I think so. You know how she does.
You know how I do. Because it says there, settle your father. What does it say, Connie, in verse 5 and 6? Please read that. Genesis 47.
Let's see. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land, Let them live in Goshen, and if you know of any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock.
Woo! So put them in the best land, right?
Yep.
Put them in the best land. Don't put them in just the so-so land. You know, it's just so-so to go on in your life, Brother Lloyd, having this issue in your eyes. And we want, and God wants, you totally healed and restored. Every bit healed and restored. And so many of you out there have been putting up with just so-so. You know, well, yeah, I'm in this relationship with this person, and yeah, they're kind of mean to me, and they treat me like this. Is that really what God wants for you? No. Some of you are in jobs that you hate, and God wants you. One of our people told me after church today, because she wasn't really happy in the job situation she was in. She liked the company, but didn't like what she was doing on a daily basis, and we agreed in prayer a couple weeks ago. For Cindy, that would change. And this past week, she was told by the boss, come here, I'm going to take you up to the fifth floor of our company, and we're going to have you do something different. And Cindy didn't ask to be changed to a different position. I said, how do you like it now? I love it. I love it, she said. I love doing what I'm doing. And I said, woo, now there you go. That's being blessed beyond when you don't, you could sit there and you could be miserable. Mm-hmm. Some of you are miserable in some aspects of your life. Maybe your physical body. Maybe it's your emotions. Maybe you're miserable because of a job situation or the person you live with or whatever the case may be. And God wants you to be blessed beyond. Carol, woo! Your turn. Woo, woo, woo. Carol, it's your turn.
Well, I know that he wants you to be blessed beyond what your own eyes can see. You know, he looks for our, we all have gifts and talents, and we don't recognize them a lot of times. Perhaps friends and people like that do, but we don't. But when we ask God to change the situation for us, maybe we don't like Cindy's, not happy with the job, he does put us into a situation where I can kind of think he's going, wow, okay, now here comes the gift that I promised that you could do and that you would do. And he, as you know, promotes us, if you will, to what he can use us as and the purpose that he has for us. I mean, who knows whose life is going to be changed because Cindy bumped up a couple of floors. It isn't all about her. It's about God seeing a willing heart to do something for him.
You know, that's exactly right. And you know,
when she gets bumped up in another couple of flights, thank God, because somebody there is getting ready to get a blessing, getting ready to receive the message God has for them. Mm-hmm.
You know, my granddaughter, my only granddaughter, Rylan, is 16, and she went to her dad and her mom a few weeks back, and she said, now, I'm going to go to college, of course, and she said, I really need a scholarship through cheerleading because, this is the sport I've chosen to go, and she's a flyer. She's a gymnast and she flies and she's amazing. And she said to her mom and dad, now I don't know how this is going to work out, but this is what I see for my future. I'm going to have a college scholarship that's going to pay for this. And they're just like, uh-huh. And they live in a little small Indiana town. So the likelihood of that. Mm-hmm. But she competes on a level in the nation with some of the best cheerleaders in the land. So there was this big, huge competition. Okay, in the tri-state area, and these judges came in from around the United States from different colleges, and Rylan is a sophomore in high school, and she didn't know, none of the girls knew that they were being evaluated by this team of high professionals from these universities, and in this particular big tournament, at the very end, after all the awards were given out and so forth, the head guy stood up and he said, now, out of the 600 of you, we have chosen 9 that are going to go on to compete for our nation and go to England next year and going to compete. And when I call your name, come up to the front. Well, Rylan told me on the phone, she says, Nana, I didn't think for a minute I was one of those 9. She said, I'm only a sophomore, and all these girls are incredible.
Only.
And you should hear her tell the story, because out of those 600, she was one of the mm-hmm. nine. And mm-hmm. my granddaughter is going to be cheering in England next Christmas at a level that puts her in front of all the universities because she didn't know how she was going to be able to get to the point where she needed to be. Woo! Carol, do you have a comment on all that?
But her story is a story of grace. Mm-hmm. I know this child lives in faith, and
yes,
she's
she
from
does.
A faith family.
Yes, she does.
So she put her faith in her ability, God-given ability,
yeah.
and she put her faith in God to do what, to answer her prayer. She had verbalized it.
Right. That's and exactly
look at
right.
the lives that she's going to touch with the young girls around her and her experience of being able to say, I'm here because.
She believed.
I believed what God had told me, that I would be here, that I would be doing great and wondrous things for him. When I was walking down to the infamous mailbox, you know, I have a million mailbox stories during breast cancer, but when I was walking down that little path to pick up my mail, I asked, you know, I said to God, what should I do? And I knew in my heart that he was directing me, and he told me he would use me. And he did, and he said, I will bless you abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that part of this story is about abundant blessing.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking when I heard the words, I will bless you abundantly.
Yes.
I'm thinking, well, I won't play the Georgia lottery because I couldn't pick out six numbers or five that would even make sense to anybody. So I didn't think that was it. I thought, well, it's my health. He's going to restore my health, which he did. But in the process, he has blessed me abundantly in my home, in my everyday walk of life, and meeting people that need to hear about him from me.
Yes.
I have been truly, I mean, if he took me in this next moment, the people that know me should be able to say with great confidence, she was blessed beyond mm-hmm. all understanding.
Woo! Perfect segue into Let Me Rediscover You by the group down here.
Your spirit hovers over my waters. Your love burns longer than the sun. The skies of thunder echo your wonder. Your praises can't be oversung. The whole universe is witness to only a part of what you've done. So let me rediscover you and breathe in me your life anew. Tell me I'm forgotten. Grace, I'll follow through. to me the God I thought I knew.
Praise God. Let me rediscover you. Isn't that what we're saying, Connie? Yes. We are saying, let's get so in love with God that we rediscover him in a new way, that we see the potential that he has for us and that we walk in that potential and that we don't just sit around just, oh, I'm just a mess. I'm just full of self-pity or whatever, you know?
That we reach out and see him for what he is.
Yes.
Touch him and ask him to make a difference.
Yes.
In our lives.
Yes. And you know this is what Joseph did. I mean, I don't believe Joseph was content at all to be in the prison. Mm-hmm. When he was made in charge of the prison, I think that Joseph said, well, this is a good gig for right now, but I know you got more for me. You know, thank you, God, for that. But let's move on. What else do you have for me? And some of us have become stagnant in our spiritual lives, mm-hmm. and we have just settled for mediocrity. Boy, that's important right there. We have settled for mediocrity. Go ahead, Connie.
Well, we were, you know, today at the nursing home, we were talking about the bells of Christmas and
yes.
how peace on earth, goodwill
yes.
towards men.
Right.
And how the peace that we have that passes all understanding when things are when you're with God and when and he makes things right and he makes you understand that there's peace and to be able to live your life seeking him for what's the best. And Joseph knew that his situation, he could have sat and had his pity party
yeah.
and just sulked and been mm-hmm. a prisoner the rest of his life.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're taught to do everything that we do to the glory of God.
Right.
Whether it's work, whether it's home, whether it's loving your partner, loving your family, whatever it is, you do it to the glory of God.
Yes.
And when you do that, he recognizes that and he rewards us for
ooh.
That. And
yes.
so, you know, everything he did, even though in the worst possible circumstances, Joseph was in prison, but he did the best he could do and he was promoted.
He was promoted.
Constantly promoted.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean,
wow.
That's God. That's grace. That's God's favor. That's grace of God.
Being blessed beyond. Carol, you want to comment on all that? Woo.
I think we finally come to the realization mm-hmm. that we are, as human beings, helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our best moments of when humans shine as individuals or together, we are still helpless. And then that we have to realize that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is really the only answer that we can afford to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything about us. He has, when you think of the earth and the way it's put together and all the fishes of the sea and the fowl of the air, the flora, every flower petal designed by his hand.
Right.
Every one, and something as silly as a bumblebee that people say consistently cannot fly.
Right.
And yet you see this marvel of nature flying from flower to flower, doing his job, pollinating, gathering up the
amen.
Honey,
yeah.
the pollen to make honey to feed us.
Right.
His majesty is in everything that we do.
Yes.
We have to proclaim and proclaim it loudly. There is a God. I know him personally. I see him in every part of nature. I see him in death. You know, sometimes, like when death comes, we're terribly saddened, and we should be, because at that point, that person is a vapor in our life, and they're gone from our vision. But we should also have the faith and the confidence in knowing that we will again be reunited.
Amen. Amen.
And that, if no other reason, if somebody decides never to change their life for any other reason other than to say, I would like to be reunited.
Right. Yes.
And that's all the reason in the world to bow down and say, I am yours, God. I just pray that you will teach me to live in abundance and reassurance and faith and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And I'm an open book. And I want to be able to say to you, send me. Right. I may not know all the answers, and I don't, to everything. But I do know where to find the answer.
Exactly.
And the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that is exactly right. And this song we just did, Let Me Rediscover You, I think that when we get to the point in our lives where we're saying, okay, I want to be blessed beyond. I want to have all the blessings you have for me, God. I don't want to miss anything. It's a real time of discovering again how great God is, you know, how powerful he is, that he cares about all the details of my life and your life, Connie, and Nan's life and Carol's life and Lloyd and Cindy and our good friends listening today, that God cares about these details. He cares about the eyesight. He cares about the back pain. Every single detail. He cares about it. And when our minds, like back to cat brains, our minds are just limited. We cannot get past our level of understanding sometimes. But yet God says, you know, I don't expect you to figure it all out. This is what he was saying to me recently. Quit trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. Just thank me before you see it and know that I'm going to bless you beyond anything you can imagine. And we see this in the life of Joseph all through the book of Genesis. I love it. Jacob and Joseph. I mean, God gives a promise to Abraham, and that promise that the Messiah was going to come through his line before he ever had a child. And then he had to reach out and believe that God would send him the son. Then there was Isaac, and then he almost, you know, God almost took Isaac on that altar. But that was just looking to see if Abraham was really going to trust him. And then from Isaac comes Jacob and Esau, and Jacob was the one that the line was going to come through. And from Jacob comes Judah, and that's the praise, you know, and Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come through the line of Judah. And that is so important that we realize the importance of praising God for our answers and our blessings before we see them. Connie, I want you to comment on that. And then Carol, I want you to comment on that. Well, I mean, in other words, accepting the promise and walking in it.
Well, you know, he told us to believe what we don't see.
Right.
Blessed are those who believe without seeing the proof.
That's right.
I mean, that's my words. But,
yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, the way Doubting Thomas was.
Right.
And that Jesus was alive.
Right.
And I'm not going to believe until I see the nail prints in his hands.
Yes.
And the thing in his side.
Right.
So, you know, and Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without being seen. And I know you teach us to pray expectantly and to speak as though it is.
Right.
Even though it doesn't look like it's even possible.
Right.
Just speak it into existence by saying, I believe, God, that you're going to take care of this.
Yes.
And it may not be exactly what we think it's going to be.
It may not look like that.
Yeah, it's not going to, and most likely it's not going to look like what you think it's going to be.
That's right.
And so the sooner that we give up on what we think things should be and how things should be and just let him do it,
right,
the better off we'll be.
Woo! Amen, girl. And I was just thinking how sick you were 3 or 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. And who would have thought, but it was the grace of God and the healing power of God today that you were able to speak in the nursing home. You've been able to do this radio show. Mm-hmm. You were able to sing with the praise band this morning. That is God's blessing upon you right there, his healing touch, which
absolutely.
We again thank God right now for the total healing in Lloyd's eyes. We thank God right now for the total healing. Carol,
power
you want to comment
Jesus
on all
from
that?
The dead lives in us.
Woo! Amen. Carol, you want to comment on all that?
Yeah. Prior to getting on the show today, I was speaking to someone on the phone that about how God does bless us. And we can have a filter on that and say, because this is human nature to say, why would he bless me? Why would he give me the desires of my heart?
Right.
Why would he show me what I need? Why would he be directing my path in such a way that I will receive abundantly greater and far beyond? And it's because we're human, and we like to think we're not quite good enough. We're not quite good enough. But in God's eyes, if we love Him, we trust Him, we dedicate our lives to Him, we are good enough. Otherwise, why are we saying things, you know, like, our Father who art in heaven, mm-hmm. hallowed be thy name, thy right. kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Right.
Why would we be saying that if we don't feel in our heart that we are the persons that are worthy? You know, when you ask something about something from God and it's not part of His plan, He'll do one of two things. He'll either say to you, well, you know, Carol, your plan just doesn't fit mine right now. And then He may say, and will say, I will show you something better to request of me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, if we get, sometimes we get the cart before the horse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
we do.
I got news for you. A horse is not going to push a cart.
Right.
He'll pull it, but he's not going to push it.
Uh-huh.
Every time he tries to push it, he bangs his knees up.
Right. Right.
And they don't like to have a boo-boo.
Right. So do we.
So if we allow him to put the cart and the horse and the order in which it will travel best.
Amen. Amen.
And serve its function best and do what it's supposed to be doing at his direction, we are then blessed. And we have to learn to accept the fact. And I was one of the worst about this, saying I would pray for people. I knew in my heart that God was going to give them what they needed. And I taught people that and so forth. But always in the back of my little brain back there was a little wiggler that kept saying, except Carol.
Except Carol. Yeah.
And then right. I realized one day as I was praying for someone else, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm praying for someone to receive a blessing. I'm believing they're going to receive the blessing. And how can I believe that if I don't think blessings are for me?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so we have to just rearrange our thinking, spend time before God saying, how do I need to think in this situation? I want to go back to this last point here, Genesis 47, where Pharaoh says to Joseph, here's what I want to do. I want to give you and your family the choicest land, the best land. And I want to remind people of Isaiah 1:19. I've quoted it a lot lately. And those of you out there in radio land, write it down. It says this, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. I find this fascinating because Pharaoh gave Joseph's family the best, the choicest land, which is what he wants to do with you, my friend. In verse 7 of Genesis 47, Joseph brings his father in to see Pharaoh and introduces him to Pharaoh. And then Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Jacob speaks a blessing to Pharaoh. And that came from the fact that God was blessing Jacob so abundantly, bringing him up out of Canaan land, bringing him to be able to see his son after 22 years, finding out his son Joseph was still alive. And Jacob was walking in the blessings of God. This is the same Jacob who fought with God. Clear back in Genesis, I believe 35, where Jacob says to God, I'm not letting go of you till you bless me. Okay, so Jacob walked a life of blessing. And here is the ultimate blessing. The son he thought was dead has now been restored to him alive. So he's gone 22 years without seeing his son, and now he's restored to him. And so Jacob, this man who said, God, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me, now he gives the blessing away. Jacob blesses Pharaoh, and he speaks blessing into his life. And amazing. I love this. I love it. And this is all about the line of Jesus, that Jesus the Messiah coming through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Judah, who was the son who meant praise. And it's all about that. We are going to play this fantastic song, and we'll get back to Carol and Connie for some comments in a few minutes. One of my favorite songs, Jesus Messiah by Chris Tomlin. I love it.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might
might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
God, what a great song. Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. It's all about Jesus. And as we start our Christmas season of 2011, it is all about Jesus. It is all about prophecy fulfilled. It's all about God blessing us beyond all that we could ask or think by sending his very son to this earth to be that atonement for our sin, to be all that we need so that we can be blessed beyond, so we can walk in amazing blessing. Connie, you want to have a comment on that before I get back to Carol?
Rescue for sinners.
Rescue for sinners. Wow.
So, you know, this is the plan that he had in place all along, because he knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin.
Right.
He knew all this was going to happen.
Right.
And he had this plan to send Jesus to the earth as a human being, to live the way we live and experience everything that we've ever experienced.
Amazing.
So that God could understand where we're coming from when we say, God, help us.
Right.
Help me, I can't do this. And then He's the ransom from heaven. On top of it, rescue for sinners, ransom from heaven.
Isn't it amazing? Praise Woo! God. And all because he just wanted to bless us so much and provide a way for us not to be dead in our sins and our trespasses. Carol.
I think it boils down to the fact that God is love, mm-hmm. and we need to obey his commandments.
Amen.
In 1 John 5, 3 through 5, it states that we are to obey his commandments, and they're not burdensome to us, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And that's a victory, let me tell you.
Amen.
To be able to say you have overcome the world and all of the nonsense that's in it, that you can put yourself into the higher plane of the realm of God and be taken out of this world in such a way that the things don't interest you. You're not enticed by the pretty bright lights and the promises made by empty lips and mouths that are deceitful and lie to us. But the promise remains that this is the victory that we have overcome the world through our faith.
Amen.
Is that Jesus is the one, the only one, that has overcome the world and has taken us with him in this journey. Connie's right. He began the journey. God knew exactly what he was doing and how the whole thing would play out and how each thing, each book as we read in Scripture moves further and further and further. They all connect, and we began to see the journey.
Oh,
from
amen.
That little tiny place mm-hmm. in that stable
amen.
To where we see him hanging on the cross for us.
Amen. And
what a journey of love that is.
Woo, what a journey of love. Bill, I'm going to ask you to put that track 6 back on, just lower so that I can talk over it. Because I am feeling right now that there are some people out there. There's some people out there that need a touch from your Heavenly Father right now. There's some people out there that need to know that he is love, as Carol just said. God is love. And if he is so full of love, which he is for you, that he wants to bless you abundantly beyond all that you could ask or think. He wants to heal your body. He wants to save your soul. If you are not sure this moment that you are a child of the living God, and that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, then declare right now, God, I want you to save me right now. Forgive me for all that I've ever said or done that is not pleasing to you. Come into my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Pray that prayer. Go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And if you confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is your Savior, you can be saved right now. If you need salvation right now, do that. If you need healing for your body, reach out and believe that he is your healer. Reach out and believe that he wants to touch your body, your physical body. And reach out and believe that he wants to heal your emotions. There are some of you out there that have been so beat down all your life. You've been abused. You have been emotionally, sexually, physically abused. And God says, I'm the healer. I want to heal you. Come to me. Run to me and let me heal you from the abuse. That's what God is saying to some of you right now that are listening. Reach out and accept the healing that he has for you in his Son, Jesus, who took your sins, he took your emotional trauma, he took your pain and suffering in his body on the cross, so that you might be dead to sin and alive to righteousness, and by his stripes you were healed. It's already a done deal. He already did it for you. So walk in that right now. Jesus Messiah, that's who he is. Name above all names. The blessing, the ransom from heaven for you, for you, for your life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, rasura bayere gabarasande. Oh, rabakayende. There's somebody that's having disease in your kidneys right now. God wants to touch you and heal you. If that is you, claim your healing right now in Jesus' name. Claim your healing right now for your kidneys. Oh, rasura bayere gabarasande. somebody's got a right knee that just goes out, locks up on you, causing you all kinds of problems, and God is healing that right knee right now. If that is your knee, then stand and claim it and declare that that is your knee and that you are healed. Somebody's got a left foot that's causing a lot of problems, a lot of pain in your left foot and your left ankle, and God says, I'm healing you right now. I'm touching your body because I'm Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Jesus, the Messiah. God is doing that right now for several of you. There's healing going on around the globe. Somebody's got back pain so severe that you're in agonizing pain, and God is reaching down and touching your body right this moment with his healing hand upon your back. Somebody's got migraines that just don't seem to quit, and God is taking care of that migraine right this moment. In the name of Jesus, we declare that over you. We declare that over your body right this moment. Somebody's got nervous anxiety. You just have a very hard time functioning on a day-to-day basis in your life, in your work, in your relationships. And God says, let me calm that storm within you and bring you peace right now. Let me calm that storm and bring you peace. That's who he is. He is our peace. So, Lord, we thank you right now that you became sin for us. You took all of our pain and our suffering in your body on the cross. And we give you glory, we give you praise, that you are blessing us beyond all that we can imagine or think. That's how wonderful you are, mighty God. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Carol, I'm going to go to you for some final thoughts, and then Connie, we're going to wrap it up quickly here. Carol.
Trust God. Believe in God. Know that he does exist. Know that you are here by his divine appointment and grace. Know that he has a blessing for you to receive. He wants your body, your soul, your heart, your spirituality, all given to him. He will care for you in ways that you could not begin to understand. Covering you with his peace, his grace, and his mercy.
Ooh.
Sing songs of hallelujah. Jesus loves me.
Amen. And he does, doesn't he? He just loves us so much. Connie, what's on your heart?
Well, God is willing to, I mean, he loves us beyond measure, beyond whatever we can ever imagine. Because we think we're not worthy of love, or we think we're just not good enough for whatever. And he wants us to know that he loves us and that he will do whatever it takes to get us to understand that we're his children.
Yeah.
And he wants to bless us beyond measure, beyond anything that we can conceive.
Yes.
And I mean, if you just read, just pick up the book, the Bible, read that first book, Genesis, and
it's
read
amazing.
About Joseph and how he,
amen.
You know, he did everything. Do what you do to the glory of God.
Amen.
Whatever it is that you do, work, love your partner, love your family, whatever, do it to the glory of God, and he will reward you and restore you.
Ooh.
And, you can't even begin to imagine how good he is.
Amen. Carol, do you have something to say to that?
Yes, I do. I just want everybody to say this. I am worthy.
Mm-hmm. I am worthy, yep.
Yeah, I am worthy.
And believe it.
Yes.
Accept it.
Yes.
It's a truth spoken. And God honors that when we say to him, I am worthy.
Amen.
And you don't have to prove it to anybody.
Right. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross that we are worthy, you know, because of what Jesus did, the finished work on Calvary, you know. Woo! Praise God. Carol, Connie, you're wonderful. You've been on the radio with us for many years now, and we bless you both. We speak a blessing in both of your lives, and thank you for your contribution today on Living the Good Life. And it's just such a blessing to have this opportunity on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. We're so blessed to have this show and have this radio station who we love, and our wonderful engineer, Bill, and all of those that on our radio team that make this happen. So, Carol, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, Connie. God bless you. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to a service at Beacon of Hope. You'll never, ever be the same afterwards. I'm telling you. God is moving mightily in our services in a new way, a profound way, a life-changing way. The altars are lined. People are being set free. We're outgrowing our space. God's working on that project for us. And we are thanking God every moment of every day for the blessings that are coming to us in abundance. The answers to prayer are amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. My brother-in-law is having surgery on his back tomorrow, and a couple weeks ago they weren't even able to do it because of his platelet count, and we are believing God for successful surgery for Myron tomorrow. And
you know, the things that you can't even begin to imagine that people would ask for prayer for, and the unbelievable prayer team that we have.
It's great, isn't it?
Stops what they're doing and concentrates on for that moment when that prayer request comes, that, you know, more when two or more of us are gathered in his name, it's going to happen.
Woo. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to be on that prayer team, you don't have to come to church at Beacon to be a part of that prayer team. We have a lot of people that are not even in our area at all. So just write an email to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. We'll see that you get on the prayer team. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday morning is at 10 o'clock. And Wednesday night is at 7. We busted out the doors last Wednesday night. So we got to do something different this Wednesday. But come on, we'll find a place for you. And we set up tables, bring supper sometimes, and we just rejoice in the teachings. Pastor Jim has been doing a series of Boot Camp Basics. It's been excellent. And so we welcome you on Wednesday night at 7. Our prayer meeting starts at 6:15. Also, we welcome you there on Wednesday nights. Of course, this radio show every Sunday live, and on our website, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can find old radio shows, and you can get up in the middle of the night. Oh, some of my sermons you've got on there now. Yeah. We don't have the series yet, right? But we're getting ready to put this series, which is 9 Sunday mornings, Being Blessed Beyond. That series will be going on our website shortly between you and Maxine. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my good, wonderful friends, Connie Farmer, Carol Witcher, up in Georgia, and Guy and Nan. Hey, thanks for being on, too. And it's been a great day. Oh, it's been a great day. It's wonderful. It's not far to Jesus. Have a great week. God bless you, and we hope you'll tune in again next week at 4 o'clock for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have a great week. If we can help you, write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you.